The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers. Activist Radio is on the air. You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal. Mark is training a new generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win. All right!
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
January 22, 1973. That's right. January 22, 1973 marks a tragic day in American history. This day is unlike any other day in American history. January 22, which comes up in 5 days from today, is not like the days of the Civil War, which Abraham Lincoln called the judgment of God for slavery. January 22nd is not like the day the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, which FDR called the day that will live in infamy. No, January 22nd is not like the day that JFK was assassinated, which has been called the day the earth stood still. And January 22nd is not like September 11, 2001, which George W. Bush called a national tragedy. No, January 22nd represents another kind of turning point in American history, a day in which the American people, motivated not by historic generosity and giving, but by selfishness, began an assault, an unprecedented assault on our own progeny, that is, our children. On January 22nd, 1973, what God has called a blessing, we now call a curse. What am I talking about? January 22nd, 1973, was the day that the United States Supreme Court handed down the infamous decision of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, which decriminalized abortion killing for all 50 states for every single American, millions of Americans, by 9 unelected justices on the United States Supreme Court, and began the tragedy, the genocide of abortion killing in America. Now, 42 years later, we are still fighting this battle. Now, America, which was once known as a city on the hill, is now full of violence. Look at us. We're unraveling. Now, America, known in times past as a promoter of justice worldwide, now has blood on our hands, is known for promoting injustice and abortion killing and other things. Now America, once the most free, the most prosperous, the most just, and the most peaceful nation on the planet, has squandered its inheritance for a mess of pottage. I mean, look where we are 42 years later. Today, January 22nd, marks a truly sad day for America, and it's a day that we're going to remember the worst about us, but it also should be a day of hope, and that's what we're going to talk about here on The Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist and voice of resistance here on WRFD, and I want to take a moment and thank Coach Dave Dobemeyer for sitting in for me over the holidays here and behind the microphone. Appreciate Coach Dave and his work. We are a kindred spirits, if you will, similar kinds of mindsets, different ministries in some ways, but still feeling like it's important, both of us, to be on the front lines of the culture war. So I thank Dave for sitting in for me while I was taking a much-needed break over the holiday. And as we now approach this 42nd anniversary of Roe versus Wade, we need to take a moment and step back and remember what this means for us. We've lost well over 50 million babies. These children will never experience a birthday. They'll never experience a birthday party, a run in the park, and all those things that children get to experience, that is, born children. But today, you know, as I look at it, it's always a day of renewal, a day of hope, a day to believe that as long as there's a God in heaven, there's hope for justice in our nation. It's a day of hope because as long as there are people of conscience, and there are many of those listening to the sound of my voice, people who believe in personal responsibility and faith and freedom, that justice will eventually come to the preborn. So it is a day of hope. And all across America, next Thursday, citizens will be raising their voices like trumpets in state houses and in our nation's capital and on the streets and in our churches. Men and women who believe in the sanctity of human life, that God-given principle, will gather together to make a difference for the defenseless. We'll be doing that in Washington, D.C. 2 days of outreach will be at Farragut Square in downtown Washington, using our large screen jumbo TV, showing the victims of abortion to passersby to mark this this anniversary. And then on the 22nd itself, we will be on the parade route for the March for Life with the Jumbotron TV. So as I go to Washington with the Created Equal team, I ask for your prayers as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ and the truth that abortion is an act of violence that kills a baby, calling our nation to repent for its apathy towards these preborn children. I covet your prayers as we head out on the road next week. Also, we come around this time of year to the anniversary of the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and it's fitting that it falls on the same week of the Roe versus Wade decision. Because Dr. King, as we look back, would be probably one of the best examples of a social reform, a social activist that has parallels to the pro-life issue in the sense that discrimination, whether it be against African Americans or preborn children, basically has its same root, and that is the denial that we are all created equal and made in the image of God. Dr. King spoke from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963 with his I Have a Dream speech, where he said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed." And that creed he laid out was the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among those are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's a reason why our founders listed the right to life first, because it's foundational to all other rights. It's the first right listed in the American Creed called the Declaration of Independence. And that's because all rights flow from that one foundational right. And it's interesting because much of the culture will characterize people like myself, pro-life individuals, anti-abortion activists, as one-issue voters. That's what you hear. They're one-issue voters. They only got one issue. Well, I ask you, is there any other issue more important than the right to life, than the right to be born, for goodness sake? I ask you, is what value is freedom, liberty, to a dead person? You got to be born to experience all the other rights and privileges of American citizenship. So it should be first. You know, what value is pursuing happiness if you've not been born? So you could call us one-issue people if you like, but I think it's incorrect because there is no other issue unless you have the right to life. There is no other rights or privileges or liberties if we're not born. And the government has the right to protect the weak against the strong. I mean, that's the primary role of the civil government. So Dr. King's dream, which he iterated on in 1963, is the founder's dream, that we're all created equal, made in the image of God, and therefore deserve the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But they were thinking the thoughts after God himself, who laid this all out in the scripture, when he said that we were made in his image, and that because of that, equality comes from that only. And that all men, whether they're black or white or brown or unborn, deserve the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so as we go to Washington on January 22nd, 2015, to mark the 42nd anniversary of this infamous and horrendous tragic decision of Roe versus Wade, I believe still the dream of Dr. King and our founders and God himself, you know, that he laid out in Scripture is still within reach as long as God is in heaven. And so as we go there, we hold up that truth that we're all created equal. And the fact of the matter is, if we don't do it, who will? If the Christian church is not going to rise to its responsibility as of being a prophetic voice to a nation that has betrayed God, then who's going to do it? And right now, I have to admit that there's a void amongst our leaders, our Christian leaders, our evangelical leaders. Our pulpits are silent and should be thundering the responsibility and duty of Christians to get out onto the street and defend the weakest among us. Because with America, we've been given so much. Think about the down payment that our founders gave us with the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the fact that they were willing to sacrifice their blood. And as it says in the Declaration, they were willing to give their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for the cause of human freedom. We've been given this as a deposit in our bank account. And frankly, it's kind of running low right now, and it needs a little bit of replenishing. It needs men and women of faith to stand up and make their voices known in the public square, and that means in our state houses in Washington, but just generally speaking to the public at large, because too much is given, much is required, and much is required of the United States because of our founding, that we would be that standard bearer across the world. Because I tell you what, when it comes to this issue or anything else, winning or losing will depend on whether we're willing to invite the type of persecution that's required to make a difference for the sake of those who are less fortunate. There's no other way. We can't win this battle on the cheap. I wonder, have we lost our willingness to fight, to stand up, to take the necessary persecution on behalf of Jesus Christ or not? I call you, answer the call. Answer the call to stand up for justice and righteousness in the public square. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show here on WRFD. We'll be right back.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
I just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
Makes you want to get up and dance around the studio a little bit, jumping up and down. But I won't do that. That'd be kind of embarrassing. I want to know, everybody, I'm wearing my Ohio State outfit here today in honor of the national championship. I am a big Buckeye fan and alumni of the Ohio State University, so I wear my colors proudly and always have been a big Buckeye fan. Just as I reflect on the season and just as a moment here, long ago, about 2 months ago, I predicted Ohio State was going to win the national championship. And, of course, I'm just a Buckeye fan, so a lot of people might say that. But even when we lost our second quarterback, I said we're still going to do it because there was something about this team that was special. And, I don't want to make too much out of it, but teamwork matters. It matters in life. It matters in our Christian faith as a body of Christ. It matters in my ministry. Because solo artists, those who, standouts, if they're, that they might be the best player or best whatever, can't do it alone. And this proved that even though you might have a quarterback that's great, the next guy stepped up and boom, we were ready to go. Because we had players in different positions to execute the game plan. And isn't it true in life? If we're going to win this thing, if we're going to turn around the culture, if we're going to reach people for Jesus Christ, it's going to have to be a team game. Can't be just done by all-stars standing in a pulpit with TV ministries where we all sit back and watch them and just kind of amazed at how gifted they are. No, it's going to be the people in the pew getting out and doing what they are called to do and doing what they do best, their gifts. So that's what we try to do at Created Equal, and that's why we're going to the March for Life. We have a prophetic role in this work. We are calling the nation to repent for the shedding of innocent blood. And unfortunately, like much of the Christian church, the pro-life movement isn't a whole lot different. They're trying to reach the culture on the cheap. They're trying to paint everything as a positive experience, seeker sensitivity, the gospel of life enhancement, that if you accept Jesus Christ, your life's going to get better. Well, I can tell you that's going to happen, but it probably is going to get worse right away because you're going to have to deal with something called sin. So as we go to the March for Life, let me just say I love the March for Life. For 42 years, they've kept this issue alive. For 42 years, they've brought youth in hundreds of thousands, the numbers, to the March for Life. We're definitely for the march. They've done a great job in that. However, what I'm seeing is something that's a little bit troubling, and it's similar to what we see in the church, and this is this. A couple of memes. One of them said this in advertising for the March for Life. It said this: who needs a trip to Europe or a beach resort when you can win a trip to D.C. for the March for Life? The biggest party for life in the world. Now, my question is this. Should January 22nd, the anniversary of the most horrendous, tragic decision, the human toll of 50 million children, be a time for a party? Or should it be a time for a solemn remembrance of this tragic decision? Should it be a time to celebrate life? And, well, yeah, certain we can do some of that. But that's the narrative. Celebrate life, celebrate life. All the positive stuff. Well, you know what? We should celebrate life because God is the author of life. He's the creator of life. But what about the killing? What about that? What about the real victims, the ones that are being dismembered, disemboweled and decapitated every day by the order of 3,000. See, this is endemic of the church right now. This positive thinking, seeker-sensitive, life-enhancement gospel, to me, it's a bait and switch. It's a bait and switch. Win them on the positive. Tell them they can be part of the in crowd, be part of a party. But the truth of the matter is, whether you're coming to Jesus or you want to be a pro-life activist, the call is pretty high. It's not a call to party. It's a call to die. It's a call to suffer. It's a call to be willing to persecute, be persecuted. It's a call to lay down your life for your friends. Because the real reason we go to Washington is because of abortion. Babies are being dismembered and murdered in our country. That's the real reason. And the real reason we should come to Christ is because we're sinners and we need a Savior. The real reason we go to Washington for the March for Life is because we want to tell the world that this is the worst decision in U.S. history, and the death toll has now reached over 50 million people. And the reason why the church should want people to come is to repent, to get on their hands and knees before God and beg Him to forgive them. See, to me, this whole life enhancement, come party with us, be part of the in crowd. Who needs a trip to Europe or a beach resort when you come to the D.C. March for Life? This seeker-sensitive, life enhancement gospel, positive thinking is all part of a bigger problem. It's dishonest. It's not real. It's a bait and switch. One side says, join the in crowd. The other side, which is us, says, join the resistance. One side says, join the party. We say, come on and sacrifice with us. Be part of a movement. One side says, be popular and cool. We say, no, you're going to be an outcast. You're going to be hated for your faith. And the bottom line is this idea, this appeal to the hipster crowd, the in crowd. What does it really lead to? Ultimately, it fails. It doesn't work. And it's a disservice to those who might be seeking out true, authentic faith in Christ. Or those who might, it's a disservice to the babies that are being killed. See, and it brings about false converts. If you bring them in on a false pretense, you're not going to get them to where they need to go. It's one thing, bring them in on a false pretense or a bait, and then we switch it and say, well, Jesus says come and die. They're going to say, hey, wait, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here. And that's why they leave the church in the numbers they are. And that's why the movement that I am part of is often very too soft. We brought up a bunch of people that are dependent on this you know, in-crowd thing. Our goal is to raise up disciples at Created Equal, to raise up hardcore activists, to storm the gates of hell with strong leadership, to teach people the hard apologetics, the truths about the issue that we're dealing with. And when we go to the March for Life, I can tell you this, it's not a party for me. I go to reach that crowd, hundreds of thousands strong, young people, enormous numbers. But we're there in sackcloth. We're beating our breasts. We're repenting. We're in remorse. We're in sadness. Yes, we celebrate the beauty of life at the same time, but we've got to be, as a nation and as a people and as a church, mourning the fact that we have lost 50 million children to abortion. Now, I don't want to be a gloom and doomer. I don't want to throw cold water on everybody's party. But we got to go there with some grief, sadness, brokenness, that this is still taking place after 42 years. We have failed. This movement and our church in this country has failed to disciple the nations as Jesus meant us to do. And as I look at our movement and I look at the church, I look for men. Men don't respond to this kind of positive thinking stuff and party stuff. You know what they want? They want to be dragon slayers. Young men especially. They're not going to respond to pictures of cute babies. They're going to respond to somebody saying, we're going to go out and we're going to slay dragons for the name of Jesus Christ. See, it's a countercultural movement that we're part of. It's not part of the status quo. We're trying to raise up those people, those young people who feel a rebellious youth spirit within them, but channeling it in a way that can be productive for the name of Jesus. See, in the 1990s, it was the moral majority. 2015, we are the prophetic minority. And that has power to men who are looking to make a difference for Jesus Christ. For join us See us in Washington on January 22nd on the parade route. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to The Mark Harrington Show. God bless you. God bless America. And remember America. To bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.